Please turn with me in your Bibles now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We come to a rather long portion of God's Word. We're only going to be able to begin our study of it this morning, considering this morning only the first 33 verses. But this is a chapter of God's Word in which we see the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the Gentiles, the gospel coming in power, according to God's plan, to the Gentiles. And if we were to compare the book of Acts in terms of how much attention or time Luke gives to certain things, we would see that this event, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gospel coming to the Gentiles, this event is what Luke focuses upon by way of how much time he spends upon it. This is a very important chapter of God's Word. We might say it's so important that had this not happened, none of us would be sitting here today. Had this event not occurred, none of us as Gentiles would be here because of the gospel. And yet this morning, we are not going to be able to get to that ultimate point in our text this morning where the gospel is preached by Peter, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles. Instead, what we're going to be focusing upon is what led up to that great event. I was really struck by that. When I was planning my sermon series, as I was coming up to chapter 10, I really anticipated this morning to be focusing upon that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But as you see, there's much ground that we need to cover before we get to that event, and it centers upon the Word of God. It centers upon the way in which God spoke to Cornelius and the way that God spoke to Peter in order to walk us up or to bring us to that point where the gospel then went forth and the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. And so in this way, we pause, as it were, before coming to that glorious event, Lord willing, next week, to see how it is that God uses His Word in the lives of His people. This morning we really sit at God's feet to learn how to listen to His Word. So let's give our careful attention to the reading of God's Holy Word. This is Acts chapter 10. We will focus this morning upon the first 33 verses. This is the Word of God. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go out and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask you why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Amen. This is the word of God. There are so few ideas that are universally valued today. It is really rare to find anything that almost everyone agrees upon. Listening, however, is one of those rare ideas. Almost everyone agrees that listening is a good thing. That listening is a virtue to be valued. Everyone I know wants to be listened to. Everyone I know wants others to really hear what is being communicated. Everyone appreciates somebody who listens really well. And when we think about ourselves, we all want to be good listeners. It's because we value listening so much. We want to be those kinds of people who, when others are speaking, we really give to them our time and our attention. Listening is one of those few ideas that is almost universally valued by all. And yet there is a very sad irony related to this. As much as listening is valued today, the one area in which it ought to be most valued and relentlessly refined is the one that is arguably the most underappreciated and neglected. So where is this? In which arena is listening neglected? Where is listening, despite the fact that it is almost universally valued, where is listening underappreciated and neglected? Well, understanding human nature as it is, it should come as no surprise that this is actually where it is most important. It is where it is most needed and where it would do the best good for man, both individually and corporately. You see, listening is almost universally valued between man and man, but it is demonstrably undervalued in communication between God and man. You see, ever since the beginning, that great enemy of God, that great enemy of our souls, he has poured out all of his efforts into severing that essential link between the life-giving word of God and the blessings that flow from a careful, reverential listening to the word of God. So much can be learned from a close examination of Satan's subtle ways of deceiving us into neglecting the word of God. Just consider how Satan tempted and deceived Eve in the garden. There Satan sought to undermine the word of God with such subtlety that Eve did not seem to notice just how much hung in the balance. Satan's aim was indeed to plunge the whole of the human race into sin and misery. And yet his question came to her in a way that seemed innocuous. Did God really say? We can only wonder at his tone, but my guess is that it was said with such sweetness that Eve must have concluded that it was at least somewhat a reasonable question, that it was a genuine wondering of this inquirer. And such is the way of Satan today. He always aims to introduce doubt and suspicion into those who are blessed to hear the word of God. Now, there is an equal and opposite error that we must also be aware of. Satan can introduce doubt and suspicion to keep the hearer from hearing and heeding the word of God, but he may also attack by cultivating a naive or an undiscerning spirit that also fails to listen carefully to the word of God. And that is an equally dangerous thing. Satan is called the father of lies, and the Apostle Paul tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan rarely ever attacks directly. Instead, he deceives. He uses all sorts of deceitful schemes to try and get us to doubt or to distance ourselves from all that God's word has to say. Just remember the way that Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Remember his subtlety, even to Christ. When Jesus faced that onslaught of temptation, Satan used the word of God. He quoted Psalm 91 with a correct interpretation. This psalm is about Christ, but with the wrong application. It is not to be used to test the Lord. And so to the undiscerning, that use of the word of God would have appeared to be a proper listening to the word of God, but in reality it was a distortion that would have brought disobedience to the word of God. And so Jesus himself must teach us how to listen to the word of God. And that is actually what we have here in our text. Jesus is the one addressing himself to Cornelius and to Peter. Over a dozen times in this text, we have reference to God speaking. And so over a dozen times in this text, there is opportunity for us to learn about listening. So how can we learn to listen to the word of God? There are three lessons here in the text. So let's begin with the first. First, we need to prepare with prayer. We need to prepare with prayer. It is no coincidence that before God speaks to both Cornelius and Peter, that both are found seeking God in prayer. Now, this is not to say that God will only speak to those who first seek him in prayer. Instead, it is to say that prayer is a proper preparation for any who desire to hear God speaking. So let's look at each of these. Our text introduces us to a man named Cornelius. We're told that he is a devout man who is seeking after God. He was a high-ranking official in the Italian cohort, and we see that he was seeking to live faithfully before the Lord. He feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to all, and he prayed to God continually. That title, God-fearer, was an official title to describe one who was not yet a convert to Judaism, but who was nonetheless reading the scriptures and seeking after God. And so when we meet this man, we find one who was doing his best to diligently seek after the God of the Bible despite his own ignorance. And isn't it wonderful to see here that this man, with so many questions still unanswered, is nonetheless living unto God. He is nonetheless fearing God with his whole household and giving alms generously and praying continuously. Well, at the ninth hour, Cornelius received this word of God. And this was no coincidence. The ninth hour was about 3 p.m., was, as we learned back in chapter 3, it is the hour of prayer. And so it was while Cornelius is seeking God by prayer that God spoke to Cornelius. And so here we see that Cornelius was constant in prayer. He was seeking to know the Lord better. Well, our text also tells us about the Apostle Peter. The next day, Peter is also praying. He's praying at a different time. He's praying at noon. And Psalm 55 says, "At morning, evening, and noon, I utter my prayer to you." In Daniel's example, we saw that he prayed morning, noon, and night. And so whereas Cornelius prayed continually, Peter is here presented as praying regularly. Whereas there was a sense of urgency in how Cornelius was seeking after God, there is a sense of constancy in the way that Peter is seeking after God. In both of these men, we see how they were prepared to listen to the word of God because they had prepared their hearts with regular and constant prayer. Their hearts, you see, were readied because they were offering them up to God in prayer. These two examples of a prayerful preparation remind me of how Samuel needed to be instructed when he was a little boy to prepare his own heart to hear God's word with prayer. Boys and girls, do you remember the story of Samuel found in 1 Samuel chapter 3? He was dedicated to the Lord, and so he served alongside that priest Eli. And one night while Samuel's sleeping, God calls to him. And so Samuel hears this voice and he answers, thinking it's Eli, "Here I am." And he runs off to Eli. This happens three times before Eli understands what's going on. Eli's not calling Samuel. Instead, God is calling Samuel. And so Eli equipped Samuel to hear the word of God. Eli provided a remedy. He equipped Samuel with prayer so that he might be prepared to hear God speak. Eli gave to Samuel a prayer to posture Samuel to hear the word of God. Well, brothers and sisters, God would have each of us prepare our hearts for the word of God by way of diligent prayer. We have promises that attend that diligent prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what we see here in Cornelius, and that is what we see here in Peter. In 1 Chronicles 28, David tells his son Solomon that God will be found by all those who seek him. And in Jeremiah 29, the prophet gives a promise that all those who seek after God will find him. And so the first lesson that we need to learn from our text today is that we need to prepare our hearts for the word of God with prayer. Prayer is the means that God has given us and that he uses to prepare our hearts to hear his word. So consider your own heart today. Consider the way that you approached the word of God coming to worship today. Did you prepare your heart? And fathers, heads of households, did you help your household prepare by way of prayer? Did you prepare by a continuous prayer this week? Did you prepare by a regular prayer this week? Are there habits in your life? Are there habits in your life by way of which you prepare for the coming Lord's Day each week? Think too just about the psalm of preparation that we have each week. We have a prayer provided for us each and every week to prepare our hearts for worship, for hearing the word of God. Do we use it intentionally to prepare our hearts for the word of God, or do we tend to just sing it, thinking this is just what happens at this point in the worship service? Think too about your orientation to the preaching of God's word each week. Is this simply what happens at this point in our service? Is this just another sermon and a long line of sermons? Or did you come here today to hear God address you by his word? Is God's primary means of communicating to us attended to by us in a way that is fitting, knowing that we are coming before our Creator and our Redeemer? We need to prepare with prayer. Well, these questions lead us to the next lesson. So, second, we see here that we need to also learn to hear with humility. Both Cornelius and Peter have already demonstrated their humility here in the text. We see their humility already in the way that they both used prayer to seek after God, because prayer is an acknowledgement of our utter need for God. But there is more here about both of these men and their humility. In each of these men, we see their humility not only in the way in which they sought after God by prayer, but even more so in how they received the word of God. So let's consider Cornelius first. God's word tells us that Cornelius was a centurion of the Italian cohort. What does that mean? Well, that means that Cornelius was a man who was used to being in charge. Cornelius is a man who is used to giving orders, not receiving them. And oftentimes, even today, men who are given such a station in life struggle to hear the word of God with humility. And that is why what we see in Cornelius reveals this beautiful Christ-like humility. Notice how when the word of God comes to Cornelius, he hears it with a due humility. When he is addressed with the word of God, his first response is, "What is it, Lord? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This man had ears to hear. And then as soon as God's word gave direction, what did he do? He obeyed without delay. Verse 7 tells us that as soon as the angel who spoke to him departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier, and then he carefully related everything to them and sent them off accordingly. Cornelius, this man of an elevated rank and much influence, still humbled himself before the word of God and obeyed immediately. Next, we need to consider Peter. As much as Cornelius teaches us how to hear with humility, perhaps Peter does so even more. And why is that? Well, it's because Peter is an apostle. Not only is he an apostle, but he's also the apostle to the Jews. And we see here that he is actually corrected unexpectedly with the word of God. And so his example is beautiful. Think about what happens here with Peter. While praying, God's word comes to Peter. And he sees the same thing in this vision three times. There's this thing like a sheet that lowers down from heaven, and in it are every kind of animal. He sees those animals, and then a voice comes to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, to us, this is no big deal, but Peter has carefully observed all of the cleanliness laws, those laws that separated Israel from every other nation. He has carefully observed these his entire life. He has never eaten anything unclean, which is why he answers in the way he does. "I can't do that." And so the voice comes to him again and says, "Do not call unclean what I have made clean." And so here we have the apostle. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle to the Jews, and here he is being corrected now with the Word of God. He is being called to eat in a way that he thinks is still unclean. And so this is a very unexpected correction for Peter, which is why we see him struggle in the way that he does to reconcile this word that he has just heard with the Word of God. And all of this highlights how he hears with an incredible humility. Notice how Peter listens to the word of God. And then he takes time to carefully consider the word of God. This is a man who is hearing with humility. He is inwardly perplexed, but he is also pondering over this word that he has just heard. He is giving a careful consideration to this word. Which means Peter was willing to be persuaded with the word of God. Even as he is tightly holding, as we should, to his understanding of the word of God, he was still nonetheless willing to be persuaded by the word of God. He was willing here to let the word of God challenge him regarding a lifelong practice. This also means that he was unwilling to do so without a careful consideration. He was unwilling to do so without being persuaded by the word of God. And so notice how God gave Peter the same vision three times. God is being patient with him. God is persuading him. And then he also provides Peter with time to ponder these things. And then later, the Word of God comes, giving him more light and more insight into what God is doing. And so in Peter, we see how we are to hear the Word of God with humility. Just like Cornelius and Peter, we need to hear the Word of God with humility. Why is that? Well, simply put, it is because one of the most important elements in all of life is your listening to the Word of God. One of the most important elements in all of life is the Word of God and its role in your life. And so seeing these two beautiful examples of hearing with humility, we need to be seeking it. How can I hear the Word of God with humility? Like the Apostle Peter, we are to hold tightly to what we believe, to what we have been taught regarding the Word of God, and yet we still need to be willing to be persuaded by the Word of God. So how do we do that? That is a tightrope that we need to learn how to walk. Well, it's by avoiding two opposite extremes. The first extreme is by demanding a certain kind of message that we are only willing to hear from the Word of God. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4. There Paul commands Timothy, saying, "Preach the Word. Preach the word in season and out of season." Okay, so why is Timothy needing to be prepared to preach the word in season and out of season? Well, Paul explains. He says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth." Paul is writing to Timothy about the church. And a temptation that we are going to face as the church is making demands of the Word of God, making demands regarding the kinds of messages that we are willing to hear from the Word of God. And so God's Word warns us, saying we must put off that temptation to sit over the Word of God, and instead we need to pray for the kind of humility that will always come under the Word of God. Well, if the first extreme is making demands of the Word of God, the second extreme is being undiscerning regarding the Word of God preached. We're not to err also then in the opposite direction. You see, it is not true that any time we hear the voice of a preacher that we hear the voice of God. The preacher's authority is always and only a borrowed authority. He borrows his authority from a single source. It doesn't matter how eloquent he is. It doesn't matter how gifted he is. It doesn't matter if he is followed by thousands. It doesn't matter if he has a PhD. What matters singly is whether or not he preaches the Word of God faithfully. The Word of God alone is a preacher's authority, and so we must always listen with discernment to hear the Word of God from a preacher. This is why I love when I see Bibles opened as I am preaching the Word of God, because I can see you comparing what I am saying to the Word of God. The Bereans were commended for receiving the Word of God after they confirmed it in the Word of God. They heard the Word of God preached, and they confirmed it in the written Word. Christopher Ashe wrote a little book that, fathers, I want to commend to you. It's called Listen Up. It's a practical guide to listening to sermons. Parents, I want to commend this book to you because it's a wonderful short read that you can read with your families about how to prepare and how to listen to the Word of God, both with humility and with discernment. And in this little book, he writes, "When the Bible is faithfully opened up, we are to listen to the preacher's voice as the voice of God himself. The preacher stands in the great tradition of prophets and apostles who spoke the Word of God. Unlike them, the Christian preacher cannot offer new or fresh ideas to add to the Bible. But like them, there is a borrowed authority to speak what God once spoken. So we ought to listen to this kind of sermon with the utmost seriousness." Here in our text today, we have a man who was very powerful and influential according to this world. And yet, by the grace of God, he hears with humility. We also have another man who was preeminent within the life of the early church, and yet he too shows us how, by the grace of God, we are to hear with humility. So consider your own heart. Do you hear the word of God with humility? How is your heart oriented to the word of God each week? In Nehemiah chapter 8, we see the people of God standing before the word of God as it is read and preached, as a sign of their readiness to hear and to obey the word of God. Hebrews 4 tells us that the word of God is living and active, which means it cuts, it divides, and it disrupts. James 1 tells us that God's word will necessarily challenge us, which means we need to be prepared to hear the word of God with humility. We need the instruction of God's word. Consider Peter and his example here in our text. Do you hear with humility when the word of God challenges you? That's what the word of God did to Peter, the apostle. It came and it challenged him, and he heard with humility. When was the last time that you changed in some way because of the word of God? When was the last time that God's word altered the way that you think about something, or your behavior, or what you believe? This is why James calls us to receive with meekness the implanted word. He gives us that added encouragement, which is able to save our souls. This is of utmost importance. Do you hear the word of God with humility? Well, that begs the question, what does that look like? What does it look like when someone hears the word of God with humility? Well, that brings us to our third and our final point, which is we need to listen with love. We need to listen with love. Love in our hearts for Christ. You see, in our culture, we tend to define love in emotional terms. We often think of our love in terms of only feelings or emotions. So listen to how Jesus spoke of our love for him. On the eve before Christ's crucifixion, on the day before his death, Jesus, knowing that he is about to go do the very thing that is going to fill every believer's heart with incredible love for Jesus, he says to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And that idea is not isolated to that one time in which Jesus spoke it. In fact, the New Testament repeats that idea at least a half a dozen times. So Jesus teaches us how we are to show our love for him. Jesus says it is not only in our emotions or our feelings, although that's good too, but he also teaches us that we show him our love in how we obey his word. So this means at least two things. It means first that if we love Jesus, we will have an earnest desire to know his will as it is revealed in the word of God. Because I have been loved so much by God, I will want to know God's will by studying carefully and hearing carefully his word. But then second, we will then desire to be formed in whatever way his word desires. We will want to be formed precisely by the word of God without objection. That's actually what we see from Cornelius at the end of our text. He says, "We are here to hear whatever you have been taught by Christ." Well, that is what we see here in our text. Both Cornelius and Peter show their love for Jesus in the way that each of them listen with love to the Word of God. They listen with love by showing their obedience. Notice here how the text ends. Peter comes to Cornelius. He says, "Why did you send for me?" And Cornelius answers. He explains that vision that he received. He relates his response. And then he tells us about his posture to the Word of God. He says, "So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." He tells us what his posture is to the Word of God. He wants to hear it all. He wants nothing withheld. He wants the whole counsel of God. "I want to hear everything." But he wants to hear that which has been commanded by the Lord. He wants nothing added either. Don't withhold anything and don't add anything. "I want to hear all that has been commanded by the Lord." Cornelius is rightly oriented to the Word of God. He is ready to hear all. But second, we also need to notice in our text here that Cornelius takes advantage of the spiritual influence that God has given to him to steward in his life. Look at verse 24. "Knowing that Peter was on his way, Cornelius called together all of his relatives and close friends." Those two words, "called together," do not indicate something like a meek invitation. "Hey, if you guys want to join us, come on over." No, instead, Cornelius is actually using his spiritual influence. He is essentially commanding his family and all of his servants to stop what they are doing and to come and to hear the Word of God. See here how Cornelius is prioritizing the hearing of God's Word. He is sacrificing income that he would have made otherwise by way of his servants because he is prioritizing the Word of God. His family probably has other things that they would like to attend to, and he says, "It doesn't matter. There's something far more important for us to do, and that is for us to go and to attend to hear the Word of God." Cornelius employs as a good steward the spiritual influence that God has entrusted to him. And God has done that for each of us as well. Whether you're a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a friend, God has given you spiritual influence to steward. Now, second, Peter also teaches us how to listen with love. Notice here how Peter listened to the Word of God without delay. Remember, God's Word came to Peter and it challenged this deeply held belief and this long practiced way of life. Now, up until this point, it was appropriate for Peter to eat according to those dietary restrictions. He needed a clear Word of God to change his behavior. This was obedience to the Word of God up until this point, and now the Word of God is coming to him to change because of what Christ has done. But nonetheless, the Word of God comes to Peter to challenge a deeply held belief and a long practiced way of life. And so he is then pondering the Word of God. And then these visitors come to the door, and the Holy Spirit tells him, "Go with them without hesitation." Notice in the text, he actually invites them in, which was unlawful for him to do, according to those separation laws. Peter is beginning to understand what is going on. But notice, Peter's growth and Peter's understanding grow as he obeys. His growth, his understanding come as he obeys. He doesn't know the full picture yet. He doesn't understand everything that Christ is trying to teach him yet. And yet he obeys with the light that he has. He goes without hesitation before he understands everything. It is as he obeys that he is given further instruction. As Peter obeyed the word of God as far as he could see it, then God gave him further insight into his will. In explaining the parable of the sower, Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear." And then he says, "For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." We see this principle illustrated here in the life of Peter. He is obeying with what he has, and because he obeys with what he has, he is given more. And so in his great love for us, Jesus warns us to be painstakingly careful about how we hear. The one who hears with humility, the one who listens with love, will continue to be taught. But according to Christ's warning, the one who refuses to listen, the one who refuses to obey, will find himself with the word of God removed. The way in which God's word speaks about itself ought to prepare us to hear God's word in anticipation of instruction. James 1 tells us, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of it. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that God's word is profitable for these things, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Quite plainly, then, this means that we need the word of God. We need the word of God to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, and to train us. We should pray accordingly to let the word of God, as Cornelius did, have its way within our hearts and lives. Peter's example here ought to serve us well throughout our lives. Notice here, even as an apostle, how he hears the word of God really well. This means that even as he was called as an apostle, as this leader in the New Testament church, he was still willing to be instructed. He was still willing to learn. His position and his station in life did not cultivate within Peter a sense of having arrived or a sense of not needing to learn any more. Instead, his place among God's people seemed to make him even more careful regarding God's word and his obedience to it. Which is why God is helping us this morning. The Lord Jesus is reorienting us afresh to his word. So think about your own heart this morning. How do you listen to God's word? Do you listen to the word of God with love in your heart for Christ? That love that we see here in Cornelius that says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to know everything that you have said, and I don't want anything added." How do you come to the word of God each week? In Mark chapter 6, we have a warning regarding how we hear, and it's found in the man Herod. Herod had John the Baptist in prison, and he would regularly trot John the Baptist out to hear him preach. But any time he did not like what he was hearing, he would have him removed. He was filtering out all of John the Baptist's calls to repentance or calls to obedience. We live today in a culture in which it's hard to put aside all of the different communications that we're hearing. We're being communicated to almost constantly. You have to work hard to get silence in our day today, which can cultivate within us a take-it-or-leave-it approach to what we hear, which is fine in most other circumstances, but never with regard to the word of God. We must always be careful how we hear. James calls us to receive with meekness, or with humility, that word of God which has been implanted in our souls. We must not be like Herod, who will only listen to what we want to hear. We were called to worship this morning from Psalm 95. That gracious, glorious word in which we were reminded that we are God's people. We heard verses 5 and 6. Verse 7 goes on to say, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And Psalm 95 goes on to say, listen, God's people did this in the wilderness. They had his word, but they didn't listen. They hardened their hearts. They didn't have humility. They didn't listen with love. And so that is a gracious reminder from the Word of God. The writer to the Hebrews picks up that passage in Hebrews 3, and he leans upon God's people with the Word of God to say, listen carefully to the Word of God. And he tells us why. He says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We need the Word of God. It is the most precious commodity in all this world. And so we need to be careful how we hear. In this little booklet again, Christopher Ashe ends with a helpful illustration. He pictures a devil training junior devils in how they might attack God's word and its work in this world. And so the senior devil says to the junior devils, "What ideas can you come up with? How can we impede the work of God's word in this world?" And the first one says, "I've got an idea. Tell them there is no God." And the senior devil says, that may work for some, but there's a whole created world around us. That won't work for everybody. And so the second junior devil comes and he says, I've got an idea. Tell them there's no judgment. He said, "Ooh, that's a better idea. That will work for far more. But it won't work for many more." And so the third junior devil presents his idea. He says, "Tell them there is no hurry." And the senior devil says, "There it is. That's the idea. That one will deceive so many. Teach them whenever they hear the word of God that they can obey later. But there is no hurry regarding what they have heard." That is why God's word says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Every sermon will either harden your heart or soften your heart, which is why Jesus says, take care then how you hear. And so coming to God's word, being instructed by it today, let us prepare with prayer. Let us prepare with prayer so that we might hear with humility and so that we might listen with love. Let's seek these things from Christ together. Let's pray. Lord God, how we love you and how we love your word. Lord, we thank you that not only have you given to us the most precious resource in all of the world in this, your holy word, but then by that word, you continually call us back. You continually remind us of the essential nature of your word. And we see and we understand that this is in your great love for us, so that we might be shepherded by your word throughout this life, precisely with what we need. Lord, we confess that at times we do sit under the preaching and hearing of your word. Whether it's the word read, the word sung, or the word preached, we sometimes simply go through the motions, and we are distracted with far lesser things instead of focusing upon that implanted word which is able to save our souls. And so we confess it. We thank you that your word brings conviction for the sake of repentance and renewal. We ask, Lord God, that you would cause us to value your word as we ought, to value your word in the way that your word teaches us to. Lord, we pray that like Cornelius, we would be willing to hear with humility, and like Peter, we would be willing to hear with humility. Lord, this is a work of your Spirit and your grace, and so we ask for it. Give us humble hearts that hear. But furthermore, we desire to listen with love. We want to be like Cornelius that says, give me all of the word of God and nothing more. I want to be formed into the image of Christ by way of the word and the Spirit. So give me the entirety of your word. Don't withhold any of it. Don't add to it. Lord, may we be that kind of people. And may we be like Peter, always willing to be challenged by your word. Help us to be discerning, not easily led astray. May we only be convinced by the word of God. Lord, help us to live on that razor's edge, which is listening with humility, always eager to listen with love, but never being naive, never being misled. Lord, we pray for the pulpit ministry of this church. We pray for the word as it is read and sung and preached week in and week out. And we ask, Lord God, that you would not remove your lampstand from this congregation, but instead that you would cause us to so love and to receive your word, that you bless us with it each and every week. Lord, we pray that this word might be with us this week, so that we will prepare tonight for tonight, and that we would prepare again for next week to hear your word. Lord, we thank you for this word that has instructed us today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to Psalm 119 and let us pray again by the singing of Psalm 119, that we would be rightly oriented to the word of God, that I may keep your statutes, Lord. Instruct me in their way. Yes, make me wise to keep your law. Wholehearted, I'll obey. You hear in those words that a proper attention to the word of God and a proper obedience is itself a work of grace by God alone. So let's seek it from him. Let's stand and sing together Psalm 119E.